It's time for Stars on Sports,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sport. I'm joined as usual by our assistant athletic director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalion Lowry. And gentlemen, this is a topic I wanted to talk for a long time about. As I've talked before, I love just watching coaches. And Coach Cutter, we talk about a lot of coaches in our office every day and the ones that we look at to emulate and the ones we look at not to. And I'm not a Lions fan, but Dan Campbell is a hot topic for what he's done with the Lions. You know, I'm watching the game the other night, and I didn't watch all of it, but, you know, he goes for it on fourth down early in the game on, like, the 20-yard line, and they don't get it, and they still won the game, but I'm really intrigued by coaches that change the game, and I think he is currently changing the game, and I know in researching for this podcast, I don't know where we're going to go with it because it really intrigues me on, is it analytics and risk or is it belief and grit? And it's a really good discussion. I took it at the first because I think it's contagious. And there's other coaches that go for it on fourth down. The Lions have gone for it the most since he's been the head coach, I think like 45% of the times. And they still punt. I mean, it's not like they go for, 45%, that tells you they're still punting more. But, you know, some would argue it's won them game they should have. Some would argue it's lost them game that they should have won if he would have filed analytics. But the things that intrigue me that I want to dive into today are the belief system, the way they treat the play, the risk factor, the analytics, the, you know, all of it. Is it a strength? Is it a weakness? Is it just a different mindset of, is he comfortable taking the criticism when it happens? And I think if you ask Lion fans, they're happy with. But I think there's time they would get mad on play. So anyway, I know we've even brought Dan Campbell up before. As you know, lately I've been trying to think what event that's happened in the last week that stuck with me. And that's the one, because since Monday night, when I watched that happen, it was in the first or second quarter, I'm wondering, is this going to come back and bite them? But they're good enough to win. So maybe that's another thing too. Like, and you know, that's one of the things I researched. Or is it just their mentality? Can this work for every other team? And I know like the Chiefs are pretty high, the Eagles are, and those are three of the most successful teams in the NFL right now. So I'm pretty sure you probably didn't watch the Lions game on Monday night, but I know you and I have talked, and I'm sure you follow coaches too, and playing to win or playing to lose mentality. So what are your thoughts, Dan Campbell? Have you researched him much, or, you know?
Yeah, to some degree. It's a win-win situation for him.
Really? You know,
ultimately, I mean, I think his wins above replacement are probably pretty high. But the reason why I say it's a win-win is because when a team goes for it on fourth down, that increases the fan experience. The fans don't want to watch a punter go out there and punt the ball. So that increases it. So that's a win there. But on the second part of it, it's a win because the offense loves that. It shows that their coach has a strong belief that they can get these 3 yards, 5 yards, whatever it might be. So it's a combination of great for the fans, great for the belief system of the offense. The head coach believes in the offense that they can do it. And more times than not, they're going for it. And it's been a positive experience. And now you see more teams in the NFL that instead of punting all the time, they're going for it. So it's been a nice little shift that also helps the fan experience.
What do you think, Dedalion? Are you a Lions fan?
Well, I am, to the degree that I'll watch every once in a while. As you know, I'm not really a sports watching kind of guy, but I honestly, everything Cut said, he said it more eloquently than I could have. Yeah. I am familiar with Dan Campbell, and I am familiar with his coaching style, and even me, who does not watch sports that often, is familiar with the fact that he is a risk taker. And it's kind of interesting to hear you say that you're seeing it turn up in other teams as well, you know, going for it. And I think Cut was right on the money with the notion of the energy of the fans building up and then, of course, feeding off that energy for the team. Fabulous, yeah.
And I didn't think of the fan win-win aspect of it. So, and I do agree. I think Detroit has that mentality. And so, and to your point, Dalian, I mean, you see Lions stuff all over the place. Now, one, they haven't been having a history of winning, and now in the last couple of years, they've been one of the most successful teams in the NFL. I believe the state has embraced that mentality, and it has created a fan experience. The thing that sticks out to me the most is the Lions treated as another play. You know, you wouldn't know if it was 4th and 1, 4th and 3, and I don't know what helps him decide, you know, 4th and 5 or low. I mean, he's gone 4th and 8, depending on, and or if it's 3rd and 2. And then they went out there. It looked like 3rd down to them. They didn't get it, and they run off the field, and the defense comes out, and their defense does great. Where in the past, I think coaches and people have treated it as like a high pressure play, that failure was a part of it, that you, if you failed, it would ruin the game for you. I mean, it was a significant value of a play that the Lions have kind of, the Dan Campbell has kind of changed that approach to 4th down. And that's good for everything that we do. But how that mindset has changed and watching the Lions and some of these other teams treat 4th down as another play is intriguing to me. And it is a belief system. I always looked at it as a risk system, like analytics. Like, you know, there's college and high school coaches out there that don't ever punt because the times you do make it and score outrisk the times you don't. And I remember your first year here, you talking to me about baseball where getting the guy on second base gives a significant advantage of scoring that run, that you're pretty aggressive on the base pass just because the runner at first, it's hard getting them to score, where the odds significantly increase when you got them to second and third base. And I see that in the playoffs a lot, of the sacrifice bunting or the stealing.
It's definitely analytical. But there's also another piece about it where you just think, like, this is just one play. A typical NFL offense of team will have right between like 70 and 80 plays per game. So why are you going to make 1 4th down that important? Well, why don't you make every play that important? And that brings it back to just one play at a time. It's just one play. You're also putting the defense in a situation where you're saying you believe in them. If it doesn't work out, so what?
Yeah, it's definitely a risk, but I mean, if your coach believes in the team, I'd say that's, what'd you call it, a good risk to have? I don't know. But yeah, that's the way I've just always looked at it with Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it is a risk, but it does take guts. It takes leadership. It does tell your team, we're not afraid. We do believe in you. And I think players do build that belief system, and I do believe that carries over to every play in that game, including, like you said, the defensive team. And again, I don't think he does it. I didn't bring here statistics like if he does it on one side of the 50 over the other side of the 50, but he definitely does it 45% of the time. And when I originally watched him, when he first started, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is too aggressive. And still not 100% sure on that premise, but I do like, again, just watching the team and how they handle it and how that has changed the game. And I like coaches that change the game. And I believe in 10 years,
they're better with him, you know.
Definitely. It starts at the top. It shows leadership, and it shows that he believes in them, as you've said. And it shows that we're here to fight. We're not backing down. I trust my guys, offense or defense, to go out there and make the play. And to your point, it is only one play, but in the past, we've always treated it as a big play for some reason. It's 4th down. But change of possession next? I don't know. I mean, so, but he's changed that. And I think, again, I know analytics is huge, and I know you use a lot of data for your successful program. So I do believe that has helped change the argument. But in this case, I truly believe it's more his personality, his leadership style, his just grittiness, the bold decision, big risk, big reward kind of thing that for some reason hasn't taken off before him. And there's been other coaches. I mean, Bill Walsh with passing, you know, the West Coast offense that brought more passing, more quick passing. And so, again, we remember those coaches that kind of changed the game with an offense or defensive philosophy or a strategy that worked. And I think we're witnessing it right now with Dan Campbell. Do you think it's just a Detroit thing? Do you think it would work other places? Do you think there's a negative to it?
No, if it works in Detroit, it'll work in other places. It doesn't mean that it's going to work overnight, but he's been a coach for, what, 3-4 years? Mm-hmm. And so it's process-based, but goes back to the belief system, and that's really the single most important thing of a team and of us.
And it is process-based because, I mean, the first couple of years, they were real successful. I mean, he gradually made them a Super Bowl contender. And I think of Dan Campbell, I think of this, fourth down plays, he goes for it. He's aggressive. But they're also gritty, and they also have very good talent. I mean, they got some weapons on both sides of the floor. They've done a great job of building a team. But I still believe when you think of him, you think of his aggressiveness, his risk-taking, which isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. I mean, that's what in life we need to do. I encourage my kids. And, you know, I'm a big, more calculated risk person. You know, I always joke with you guys, I'm an actuary's dream, I think. I don't stray too far from the line kind of a thing. But I do like taking calculated risks. And I think he's taking calculated risks, but I think it's a little higher than that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe it's a risk if it's really calculated.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have to agree with Cut a little bit.
I disagree, actually.
You can't really calculate it.
It's still a risk. You're just weighing how big of a risk. It's like a spectrum of risk.
I mean, I guess if you're counting cards, yeah, I guess you can do it that way. But then is it a risk? Because if you're counting cards,
it's not a risk.
You know.
If you're counting, so it's not a risk.
I mean, that's a little, I mean, because there's more certainty there. But I'm talking, if you're risking that at 45% success rate, there's some number you as a person get to that makes you make that decision. I don't think anything's 100%, and then it wouldn't become a risk if you get to the 100% point. Calculating cards, I mean, if you calculate right, you're narrowing down that percentage of error and such. So there's my take, and I think I'm pretty good, actually. But
and you're entitled to your opinion, so we're good with that.
Yep.
So the risk part is a big part of this, so I'm glad we kind of dived into that a little bit, because I think that's what scared people before, is how high of risk it is, and why is that, to your point of, because you go out there and continue playing. Again, the other thing that still intrigued me, too, is trust. I mean, we've talked a lot about trust on a team and how important trust is, and all facets of the life. I mean, even in relationships, that's the number one factor of building a relationship. But this builds trust. You know, when we talked of ways of trying to build trust on teams, this is a tangible way of showing people, I believe in you. I trust you to do your job and get this play. So, again, that intrigued me. I think the analytics and the belief are covered more in whether it's if it's a risk they're not taking, that trust is also a key factor of this. And back to the risks, I mean, all risks, I think, are calculated. I'm still on that topic. That's going to be a whole nother podcast. We're going to study that one and spend it back. So we're not going to spend time on that one. But it's also, with trust, it's courage. And that's something we really haven't talked a lot about on there, and something I've really, you know, worked hard in my life and my leadership style. I can't say I've always been a courageous leader, but I had a supervisor that would, his main word in leadership was courage, and really helped us develop it and gave us some tangible things to work on. That this is that too. It's courage. Will it continue to be courage when it becomes normal? But it is courage too, to go for it. We're talking about, again, one play, probably does it 4 or 5 times a game. And then the last thing, again, these are all things I've taken from it, plus researching, that I think you build from going for it on fourth down, is going for it, you know? And how many times in life we don't go for things? How many times, we've talked a lot about being so close to success and stopping, you know?
Why? It's because we're busy calculating the risk.
It's true, though.
We are. Yeah. And if you think about courage or going for it, to have courage or to go for it still comes back to, maybe it's just a glimmer, but it's a belief. It's, I think I can do this. I'm going to give this a shot. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm going to give this a shot. And it still comes back. Courage comes from a belief system in yourself. Yep. It might not be a super strong one, but then going for it is the same. It's that inner voice, that belief system.
And realizing that that failure, if it does become a failure, that that's not the game.
Yeah,
you're still playing.
You.
You're
that's
still in the game.
Point.
Doesn't
yeah.
define you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And lastly, betting on yourself, which we tell a lot of people to do, but
belief
do
system,
we do yeah. that? Yeah. I mean, that's where it all stems from, which I'm glad we kind of dived into, because my main premise even before studying for this was it's more analytics and more risk-taking. But in the end, when you really study this and Dan Campbell and going forward on fourth down, it's a belief system.
Yes.
One other point, too, it's authenticity, too, because of who he is. And again, that's where it might not work for everybody, because it's his belief system. It's he believes in this. He believes in himself. He believes in his team. He's developed that trust. He has the courage.
He's also had success with it, too.
Yeah, that's huge.
And it could be a whole different story, a whole different podcast, if this was his grand premise and they were failing on mm-hmm. fourth downs. You would have seen the belief system start to mold and change a little bit because of the external results of it. So he's had success, and that's why having success does factor in to belief systems and everything else and how important it is. And sometimes when you're not having a ton of success, you've got to find the really small stuff that you're successful at to keep that growing.
And that's interesting, because he has had success. But why has he had success? Because of all those things we have mentioned. We wouldn't be talking about it then. He probably wouldn't be doing it if he didn't have. And then what is success? I mean, we're talking, he goes for it 45% of the time. I wonder if it's over 50% of his success rate or not. And again,
yeah,
some of them are fourth and one or something. Mm-hmm. But that's a great point, in the sense of success helped build that belief system. We've talked about that if he wasn't having success, would he continue to go for it? Or if he didn't have the talent or the trust or all those things we just mentioned.
Yeah. It changes everything.
And again, I would love to know what his success rate is, but it's enough, and he has had it, because it hasn't. You know, I can only think of the one playoff game against San Francisco that some really questioning.
Thankful
about.
To Dalian.
According to a quick search here, overall success rate, approximately 52.8 to 55.6 since 2021, and that is for fourth down success rate.
So that's over 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's impressive, actually.
And I wonder if he would have changed his philosophy if he didn't have
success. If it was at 10%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's normally going to change.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's who he is,
absolutely.
Too.
You have to have some form of success.
Yeah.
It's required.
That's been, again, but I think he's helped lead to that success by the things he's done. So it played right into him doing this, because it is, but... To your point, we won't know the other side, because he has had success and he's worked hard to get his team to be successful at it. And again, the one thing, and
they all work hard.
True that. Yeah,
they
yep.
all work hard.
Yep, that's
extremely
not a separator.
Hard. Extremely
yep.
hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then it goes back to those other things. And to me, when I watched him go for it on fourth down, if you didn't know it was fourth down, you wouldn't be able to tell. And I think that's intentional practice. Mm-hmm.
You've talked about it before, like the better teams that you've seen, you can't necessarily tell if they're winning or they're
True.
Losing when
yep.
you look at them on the yep. sidelines or whatever. It's hard to tell. And so that plays into that as well.
And this applies to every sport. Mm-hmm. We're talking about fourth down plays, but we've talked about it in baseball. It's in basketball, the last play of the game. It's those high pressure situations where he has made it not high pressure. It's normal. It's the mindset of do your job, this, you know, execute, focus on the process, focus on your training, focus on your belief system. So again, it symbolizes a lot of things that we talked about. And who would have thought I'd ever be using a Detroit Lions coach to use as an example of those things.
Growth.
For me and the Lions. So again, I've wanted to talk about him for a while. so many things we could dive into. It'll be interesting to see moving forward where football goes.
The only other thing I would say is I think this is the first time since Barry Sanders that I've ever heard Detroit Lions and Super Bowl all mentioned in a paragraph.
I agree. So it's a couple other interesting stats you have up there, Dedalion. Well done that. He had 51% success rate going for fourth down in his own territory and 55% in the red zone, which is 20 yards and into the end zone. So, again, that success rate is pretty high. That
it's consistent leads, no matter where he's at on the field is
right.
What it's saying.
Mm-hmm. And, again, that goes back to belief, trust, preparation.
Mm-hmm. Consistency builds that belief system.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so.
It leads to that high of success rate. Yeah. And we can argue 50% good
because,
enough to
because
win
if he
games
was 20,
or lose games.
If he was 20% in the opponent's territory and 50% in their territory, then belief system changes a little bit. Yep. We've got to punt it away here.
So would it be safe to say that, and I don't know if this is the appropriate word or not, that risk and belief are cyclical? So they kind of feed off each other. They
absolutely. Like that's a great way to put it. It's just a very much a circle that kind of feeds each other.
Yeah. And you see that as we've talked about the third thing in podcast here in a season where belief and trust and risks are high, and then you start slumping, and you got fine Dak brick, the little fine
action,
wins.
Action,
when you're that most teams go through a slump in the regular season or lose a game.
It's the law of the thirds. We've talked about that a little bit too, and there's going to be some low times too. Yeah. You know, and
that so. It is cyclical. There are words and vocabulary. that it's flows, and if that percentage starts going down, maybe he changes his philosophy. Again, the thing we talked about a little bit, you got to have talent, and he has some nice offensive weapons in different spots that keep the defense guessing. But again, that's a tribute to his coaching and the personnel they put on there. So good stuff. We'll bring him up again. I mean, I think he's an innovator, and you know, it's always good studying coaches that are innovators in our business. So now to the question we've all been waiting for the day, and it's not one of my best ones, and we talked a little bit about it before, but, you know, walking over here today, it's raining out, it's cold out, it's gloomy, it's fall in Michigan, so on most fall days like this, people eat soup. That's a comfort food, I guess. And we've talked a little bit about my tomato soup background before. I had tomato soup last night with grilled cheese, which is one of my favorite meals. No macaroni in it. But we talked about chili before, and we can talk about chili all day long. I mean, Cutter and I both like chili. You missed that pie.
Yeah, we'll come back around to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I got questions for that because that was a hot topic at a wedding I was at this weekend is chili and how you prepare it and do it. But anyway, so soup. Do you like soup? Do you have a go-to soup? Is this a time of year you eat soup? Or
I think, of course, if you're in Michigan or a cold weather state, you know, soup is somewhat of a staple. But, yeah, I love soup.
Really?
I love all kinds of different soups, you know, chicken and rices, tomato, you know, chicken noodles. Doesn't necessarily matter so much. It's got to have some flavor to it, and it's got to be warm. Those are really the two prerequisites for me.
Those are good prerequisites. Well done, Cutter. Do you have a favorite?
I don't think so.
Do you like lobster bisque or clam chowder?
I love it.
Really?
Love it.
I've never really
lobster
had it. It's a seafood,
usually on point. That's excellent.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that surprises me a little bit. Okay.
I got to say, when you were talking about rain and things like that, I thought you were going to be heading towards comfort food in general.
Well, we can.
But the point is the very first thing that came to my brain is broccoli and cheese soup.
Oh.
That is something I really get into, and I like to dress it up with some tomatoes in there as well as extra cheese, of course. You got to have extra cheese.
Noodles?
Noodles I've never tried, but I would try that.
With
I would try
broccoli
that.
Broccoli and cheese soup?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a big soup guy, really. I'll eat tomato. I like meaty soups, you know, with beef in them or something.
Well, and that was the other thing that came to mind was it's not a soup, but it kind of is, and that's pot pies. Pot pies are absolutely awesome, in my opinion.
I love pot pies. But that's funny what the definition of a soup is, because in looking at this, and some people, is cereal a soup?
Right.
Is chili a soup? I mean, I don't know those answers. Maybe we'll dive into that someday. But
definitely going to say no on the cereals. Chili. Maybe.
It doesn't match the prerequisite.
Right. That's yours. That's warm and flavorful.
Although oatmeal, then.
It is a good time of year to eat those things. And, you know, on a day like today or a week like we're having with the rain and cold we have, that I thought we'll dive into the soup and I would have brought up comfort food, but every time I think of comfort food for you two, I think we go to pizza. So that's why I have to be a little more specific next time. But
well, you just got to describe the scene you did. Because, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, pizza would be good on a day like this, too. But again,
for you two, I think pizza's good soup every would be day, tasty. Every time of day.
Are you going to finish with ghost soup?
Pardon? I wonder. Come up with that one, Cut. Then until next time, go Stars.
Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry, and you can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!